Ladies and gentlemen, I want to look at this ship that's just gotten lodged in the Suez Canal, because beyond this being noteworthy in terms of shutting down 12% of the global shipping in one fell swoop, then there can be no more effective way to bring the global economy to a halt than to stop global shipping, and that's exactly what this has done. Before that, though, this giant ship actually navigated in such a way that its path drew a giant penis there in the Red Sea before the ship summarily lodged itself into the Suez Canal and precluded any other ships from passing now for a period of over 24 hours. So this is, it's almost like just sticking your hand out the window and flicking the guy off before you cut him off. There's a very interesting message being drawn here. I also think it's interesting that when someone asked if this really happened, is this the real data, a spokesperson for the maritime company said, "This is absolutely accurate. There is, quote, no room for some kind of conspiracy or false data here." And so when someone says there's no conspiracy, that's when I think things really get interesting. The ship navigating a big penis there in the Red Sea and then shoving itself into the canals, blocking the port in what now experts are calling a worst case scenario for global trade. It goes on with language like how this exposes the weaknesses in our global system. Same kind of language we heard when the meat plants and the farms were getting shut down. And they said, oh, this is really exposing the weaknesses in our global food supply, because, of course, they want to change it. And so they're pointing at these, they're creating these problems, pointing at them, leaving calling cards on the route there, and then using the same language. Oh, this really exposes the problems that we wanted to change anyway while we shut down the global economy and confine you to the circular economy in our race up to 2030. So let's talk about that. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And while the internet went to town with some ridiculous memes today about this ship and its captain and what is happening there in the Suez Canal, I think there's more certainly to the story than those memes would reveal here. And I don't just mean in terms of this booing oil prices, because people think they're, you know, not going to get, deliveries will be delayed there. And so Greg Mannarino was up there saying this is absolutely an event that could be propping up energy prices to hide some of the massive inflation that's going on right now. But I think it serves a number of purposes beyond that. Before we explore that, I just want to remind you, we've been talking about shipping situation, especially the containers, for months now. Since the beginning of the COVID nonsense, there's been this shortage of shipping containers, especially refrigerated containers. Food products have been unable to leave the ports or get to their destination. This has contributed to the problems of dumping dairy. New Zealand was dumping dairy because they couldn't get ships there to the ports. So just to briefly look back at only these last few months, here in January, we were already hearing about frozen fish piling up in Chinese ports. In fact, we read that China was instituting new policies that, you know, hammering again this drum of, oh, it's got COVID on it. So they started instituting testing of frozen meat as it came in, and that has led to scant availability of their refrigerated containers. And when you can't plug those things in, they don't stay refrigerated, and you lose the perishable items therein. And so this is really, it really is a case where you just have to imagine someone's taking a bat to the global food supply, to the global trade, and they just keep hitting it month after month. They just keep whacking this thing, and it's suffering. You know, what's the global economy is buckling under the stress of this. Look here from February, as the situation continues to escalate, from Bloomberg: the global food trade has been upended by a container crisis. It's getting harder to move food around the world. Some food prices will go up when these costs are passed on to the consumers. And of course, LA Times wrote about food is piling up in all the wrong places thanks to carriers hauling empty shipping containers for which China was willing to pay a premium somehow. They're usually in the story somehow. Global competition for those steel containers means that Thailand can't ship its rice. Canada is stuck with peas, and India can't get rid of its sugar. Shipping boxes are so profitable, sending them back to China is so profitable that even American soybean shippers are fighting for containers to get the soybeans we keep selling to China loaded on there and sold off. Quote, people aren't getting their goods where they need them. One of my customers usually ships 8 to 10 containers of rice each week, and right now we're only getting 2 to 3 out. So food's not moving where it needs to be moving. This is, of course, the, like I said, it's a linchpin of the global world food trade, the international flow of goods and services. Again, here's a video that was shown of the congestion outside the ports, all of these container ships just waiting to get into ports, Oakland and LA, up and down the seaboard. And then finally in March now, I've never seen anything like it from the New York Times. Chaos strikes global shipping. The pandemic has disrupted international trade, driving up the cost of shipping goods and adding a fresh challenge to the economic recovery. There is no recovery, there's just a shutting down of activity. This is a huge part of shutting down economic activity on the planet. In Kansas City, farmers are struggling to ship soybeans, so we've seen this narrative escalate over the past few months as the situation worsened. And now, of course, in March, only a few days ago, this from New Zealand, global freight disruptions are impacting exporters and especially cold store operators. Global freight problems due to COVID-19, blaming COVID-19, were causing challenges. Consumer goods and supplies aren't getting where they need to get. A number of factors have come together to create a perfect storm. And that was only 3 days ago, before this latest blow to the whole thing. The Suez Canal getting blocked by an just unimaginably large container ship piloted by very specialized captains. And as people were pointing out in the Ice Age Farmer Telegram, which is at t.me/Ice Age Farmer, we were talking about this and how that skipper was having a bad day. And someone pointed out that, you know, often when you get into harbor, you don't, you hand things off. Due to the insurance company, you're usually forced to hand things off to a harbor pilot who is not only especially skilled at navigating within harbors, large ships within harbors, but in fact, because they're stationed in one place, they know that harbor almost better than anyone else in the world. That's all they do all day, every day, is take big ships, take the helm away from the captain, and then take these ships through the same canal over and over. So it almost becomes unimaginable that one of these harbor-specific specialty harbor pilots would have an accident like this. Just something to bear in mind, particularly in light of the signature that they left before they rammed themselves into the port. But that would be high-octane speculation at this point. While we can't prove that this was a deliberate attack, even though it's a worst-case scenario and it happens right at the pinnacle of all of these global shipping trade disruptions, and there should be a very specialized pilot on one of the biggest ships in the world, it's almost unthinkable that this would happen, and yet here we are. But we can't say that for sure. Again, I wanted to mention from the conversation, Suez Canal container ship accident is a worst-case scenario for global trade, especially in light of that narrative. We were just looking at the fact that this has been mounting problems. You can go type in any port in the world and then containers and find out how rates have risen. I've heard from farmers and other exporters and importers who say that the rates they paid last year have gone up almost tenfold this year on a container to most destinations. It really is difficult to quantify how intense the effects of this are. It's just really hard to, and of course that's not to mention the fact that things are delayed by a week or two at least, because this is a global problem that's going on right now. So let's talk about this worst case scenario. It's estimated that 90% of the world's trade is transported by sea. Consumers rarely give much thought to how this whole thing works, but the incident now in the Suez Canal exposes the weaknesses in the global system. High winds have been blamed for this container ship suddenly blocking the narrow strait. Yeah, that's a huge ship. It does have a decent amount of surface area across those containers, but I find it personally really difficult to imagine that it was turned off course by the dust storm, by these high winds. We often simulate incidents like this to understand the consequences of it. In fact, says this researcher, this event is actually identical to something we just discussed over the last month. It represents an almost worst-case scenario for the Suez Canal, and then transitively for knock-on effects on global trade. This Suez Canal is a gateway for movement of goods between Europe and Asia. It's thought to represent about 13% of the world trade, so any blockage has a significant impact quickly. The specific evergreen ship that's there is one of the largest container ships in the world, capable of carrying over 18,000 containers. It's pretty remarkable. And this is noteworthy as well. In its current location there, where it decided to jump into the wall there at the end of the Suez Canal, it is blocking the only channel that is available for ships to pass through. So there are other places along that path where an accident like this could have happened, and it wouldn't have been the end of the world for the whole canal. There still would have been ways to get around it, some alternative routes. Where it is now, it's over. Nothing else can pass through there, and that's why we have that picture of these amazing traffic jams at the scale. It's just an unimaginable scale, these traffic jams. Millions of containers completely stopped. Any of them that are refrigerated and don't have power, those are all going to be, you know, perishable goods on board are going to be lost. Right now, all we can do is speculate about how what's on those ships and how this plays out. But I wanted to look briefly now at some of the effects that have happened in the weeks since Texas shut down, and some of those oil refineries have been shut down and stay shut down. This is indicative of how this latest supply chain disruption is just gonna. It's like shooting a bullet into a very small metal container, which just ricochets all around and hits everything imaginable. So here in Yahoo Finance, plastic prices are hitting record high to stoke inflation concerns. You can see plastic prices are spiking up right now because, quote, more than 60% of U.S. PVC is still offline nearly a month after the freezing weather hit Texas and Louisiana, decimating the power grid that shut down some of those plastic manufacturers. Here we can see what the effects are. March 24th, this is today, resin shortages are putting a strain on processors. Manufacturers who say tight supply and price hikes in the wake of the Texas ice storm are putting a crimp on their production schedules. Quote, this seems to be further extended and more extenuating circumstances than Hurricane Katrina. So lasting impacts there. Quote, what we have is a massive constraint in supply. There's not enough plastic resin to go around because those factories have been shut down ever since the cold temperatures there shut down the grid in Texas. Quote, this sudden spike in demand coupled with labor shortages due to the pandemic has created bottlenecks at ports, and again, a lack of empty containers for shipping. This is where the resin supply for plastics started, was because of this chronic shipping situation. Then, again, it's why I say you have to imagine that someone has dragged, it's like Office Space, where they took the printer outside. First, they unplugged the printer and they threw it on the ground. It's like the pandemic hitting. It already just takes everything out of whack. And then they just start hitting it with the bat over and over and over. Now there's no containers. Now Texas grid is down. Now the Suez Canal is blocked. And they're just nailing it. How fast can you shut down a globally interconnected, modern, technologically driven economy? It takes a series of blows. And then it has to percolate through these knock-on effects. So again, it started with the shipping containers. Then the Texas situation happened. Plastics stopped being produced there. We read 60%. Quote, for the first time in its 48-year history, one of these manufacturers that uses the plastics that are now in short supply has had to declare force majeure. There's that word again. We are unable to deliver on the commitments. We sold you this. We made the contracts. And now we declare force majeure. We just don't have the plastic. Quote, our allotments of material have been cut back to one-third, less than one-third of what they're supposed to be. We can't get our inputs. We can't get our raw materials. So we can't sell you, in this case, the hot tubs. But the hot tubs are not what I'm concerned about. We've also read that automakers are shutting down their factories. We can't make cars because we don't have the plastic for the parts. And as you might imagine, and as of course needs to be discussed on the Ice Age Farmer broadcast, this affects farming, this affects food production, and here's an example of where these plastic shortages are affecting food production from the Dairygold dairy. Notice of a shortage of supply of the plastic resins causing a force majeure event at a dairy who are unable to deliver to you the milk that we already sold you because we can't get HDPE resin, which is how we make Dairygold's milk containers. This is just one of many examples that people have sent me. Another one was plastic irrigation parts for people's farming. You know, you need to keep your crops irrigated. Well, all the irrigation parts have been exploding in price. All the tractor repair parts, the part replacements, just like the cars. You can't get parts for tractors right now in many cases. So this does carry over into food production as well. But all of this, just again, to step back and say that they've taken the global economy outside, like the printer in office space, and they're thwacking it over and over. And these are massive blows, which are causing billions of dollars each occurrence. We saw it was $1 billion in damages in Texas alone, just the crops, just the agricultural part of the damages, not to mention all the other industries and energy industries that have been shut down. So this is it. These are economic warfare attacks that are landing us right into the Great Reset, the end of most human economic activity, as they herd us into the smart cities, tell us we will own nothing but be happy anyway. Yeah, you're seeing it. And in fact, their signature is right there in your face. They're pretty much giving you the bird as they disrupt the economy that may be feeding your family right now. If that is the case, if you rely on your job to get dollars to go to the store to get food, the dollars might not be valuable. The food might not be there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get away from these fragile systems. They were feeding us toxic food anyway and enslaving us. You know, if you weren't motivated before, then it's now time, given that they are actively shutting down the system that has fed the world to date, to rapidly move away from it and to become independent, to as self-sufficient as you can. Start raising your own animals, start growing your own food today. And please help all the others around you understand what's going on right now. I know that's tough. I know people are getting short right now. If you're not wearing a mask and you're not taking your vaccines, you're suddenly the enemy. And this ties into a deeper conversation that I've been thinking a lot about. You know, these calls to make vaccine deniers domestic extremists. And there was a new bill today I posted to my Telegram about how anyone that's ever believed conspiracy theories about the U.S. government would no longer be able to get a security clearance, which means you'll no longer be able to get certain jobs, which means soon you'll never be able to get any job or go shopping, right? You can see the social credit score is taking form. All of these walls of the prison of the Great Reset that they're constructing, from the social credit score to the blockchain-based supply chain to the medical martial law, the surveillance state, all of these things are happening right now. And I just wanted to have this conversation tonight because I think this picture is pretty emblematic of the way that things are going with the global economy right now. It's a deliberate, controlled demolition, and food is absolutely on that list. So start growing today. Thanks for watching, folks. Be well.